Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Say goodbye to performance-robbing engine deposits with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Hate to break it to you, but lower-grade fuel can leave deposits in your engine that build up over time and leave your engine's performance severely lacking. Thankfully, Shell V-Power Nitro Plus removes up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits with continuous use in gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors. Download the Shell app today to find your nearest Shell station and rejuvenate your engine with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel up at Shell.
Chaos on college campuses. Pro-Palestinian protesters break in and occupy a Columbia University building as tensions grow at schools across the country.
We keep us safe.
The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We're going to begin with the crackdown on increasingly defiant and dangerous protests on college campuses across the country over the war in Gaza. Tonight at Columbia University, the epicenter of the demonstrations, dozens of pro-Palestinian students have barricaded themselves inside a campus building, and they now face expulsion from the Ivy League school. A White House spokesman today saying, quote, forcibly taking over buildings is not peaceful. It is wrong. At the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, police forcefully removed protesters this morning. More than half of those arrested were not even affiliated with the university. In recent weeks, protests have been staged at more than 60 campuses. More than 1,000 people have been arrested. Many protesters are calling for the schools to cut ties with companies linked to Israel and to be transparent about their investments. CBS's Tom Hansen leads us off tonight from Columbia University in Manhattan.
Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters smashed their way into Hamilton Hall on the campus of New York's Columbia University early this morning.
They barricaded themselves in, they brought chairs out, blocked the doors, and they moved outdoor heavy metal tables, blockaded the doors, formed human chains in front.
All the parents, mothers, fathers!
Once inside, the demonstrators hung a banner with the word Intifada, the Arabic word meaning uprising. Today, the White House said President Biden condemned the use of the term, along with other dangerous hate speech. The students are demanding that Columbia divest and sell its investment in companies linked to Israel, which the university has rejected.
When you hear the conversation about divestment, how does it make you feel?
Well, personally, I don't agree with BDS or divestment, but I believe in free speech, and I think it's a conversation that should be had on campus.
This latest escalation comes a day after university officials warned the students to dismantle their encampment or face suspension. In defiance, they set up a second one.
How do you think this all resolves on Columbia?
I'm not a fortune teller, but I think
I mean, the students have made it very clear that, like, what they want is for their demands to be met. And as long as, like, those demands are not met, they will continue to hold their ground.
Jewish students on campus say the atmosphere has become intolerable.
When we talk about feeling unsafe on campus, we're not lying. This is a threat.
Police at the University of North Carolina were outnumbered as students threw debris at them, forcing some to use a chemical agent as they retreated. In New Orleans, part of the Uptown campus at Tulane University closed today after students and outside protesters clashed with police.
And tonight, Columbia is threatening to expel student protesters occupying campus, but the school has still not given any indication how they are going to clear the encampment. In a press conference, New York City Mayor Eric Adams says we cannot call for peace by using violence. Nora?
Tom Hansen, thank you very much. The third week of Donald Trump's New York criminal trial started with the threat of jail time for the former president. The judge held the presumptive Republican nominee in contempt of court for violating a gag order, forcing him to pay fines and take down social media posts. Trump is facing 34 felony charges related to so-called hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. CBS's Jerika Duncan's reports from the courthouse.
This gag order is not only unique, it's totally unconstitutional.
The $9,000 in fines are the result of nine instances where the court found Donald Trump disparaged witnesses online against the judge's orders. Judge Juan Marchand acknowledged the fines might not be enough to deter Trump and warned more violations could result in jail time.
Judge Marchand did exactly what should be done and probably what was expected to be done.
As court began, for the first time, one of Trump's children, Eric Trump, joined the former president. Prosecutors played videos of Trump weeks before the 2016 election, responding to allegations he sexually harassed women, concerned about how it could impact his chances of becoming president.
I have no idea who these women are.
If 5% of the people think it's true, and maybe 10% think, we don't win.
The focus then turned to Keith Davidson, an attorney who represented Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. Both claimed they had sex with Trump, which he denies. Davidson first described bringing McDougal's tale, which he called a blockbuster Trump story, to the National Enquirer and warned he would bring it elsewhere if they didn't quickly pay her. Davidson also says it was the Access Hollywood tape where Trump was caught saying he could grab a woman by their private areas that had a, quote, tremendous influence on interest in Stormy Daniels' story. Davidson believed he had reached a deal with Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, in early October of 2016, but says it took longer than expected to finalize. When the prosecution asked why, Davidson said, quote, I thought he was trying to kick the can down the road until after the election. Now, the gag order does not prevent Donald Trump from speaking to the press, as you've seen, but it does prevent him from making public statements about witnesses, jurors, or other people connected to this criminal case. Now, on Thursday, the judge is expected to hold another hearing, Nora, that will review four other potential gag order violations.
Jerika Duncan, thank you. Tonight, a historic shift in U.S. drug policy is in the works. Sources tell CBS News the Justice Department is moving to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. CBS's Weijia Jiang is at the White House. She joins us now. Good evening, Weijia. So this will be a major reform. How is it going to work?
Good evening, Nora. This is the most significant change in U.S. drug policy in more than 50 years. So marijuana, which is now classified as a Schedule I drug like heroin and illicit fentanyl, would be reclassified as a Schedule III substance like ketamine and steroids. Drugs in this category are considered less dangerous and less addictive. It also means the consequences for using them are less severe. However, the DEA still regulates these drugs, so even if pot is reclassified, the change would not legalize marijuana for recreational use. So it's not like you'd be able to get it at your neighborhood pharmacy. 24 states and Washington, D.C. have legalized marijuana, and 14 others permit its use for medical purposes. The White House is not commenting on the proposed rule, but it was President Biden who called for a review of federal marijuana law back in 2022, and he pardoned thousands of Americans convicted of simple possession. Tonight, a former White House drug policy advisor to Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton is slamming the proposal, arguing there are serious health and mental consequences of using pot. And if the drug is reclassified, he plans to challenge that decision in court. Nora.
Really interesting. Weijia Jiang, thank you. We're learning new details tonight about the deadliest attack on law enforcement in nearly a decade. Four officers were killed and four others wounded as shots rang out when they tried to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. CBS's Dave Malkoff has more on the fallen officers.
Police say 39-year-old Terry Clark Hughes, armed with an AR-15 rifle and a 40-caliber handgun, opened fire from an upstairs window of a house as a U.S. Marshals Task Force attempted to execute an arrest warrant for him at a Charlotte, North Carolina house on Monday afternoon. Several officers immediately came under fire as others rushed in to help.
To me, that's truly heroic. When you hear the gunshots and the rapid fire, and they're running directly into it because they know that there are people that need help.
Hughes then attempted to leave the house and was shot dead. Two women were eventually taken into custody after an hours-long standoff. Neither has been charged. Tonight, we are learning more about the four officers killed. Deputy Marshal Thomas Weeks, who leaves behind a wife and four kids, William Alden Elliott and Sam Pelosi, both 14-year veterans of the State Department of Corrections, and Joshua Iyer, a CMPD police officer who died later at the hospital. DeMonte White knew Officer Iyer. He was the school police officer who inspired him to serve.
You know, when danger strikes, just like any other officer, he's going to get out there.
Today, remnants of the chaos remain. The house partially destroyed and covered in bullet holes. And a solemn procession carrying the fallen to their resting place.
You know, the last few days of... it's just been very tough.
I got to tell you, it was moving in that room when Chief Jennings was remembering his friend. The chief was just with Officer Iyer when he awarded him as Officer of the Month for April. And Nora, he leaves behind a wife and a three-year-old boy.
It is just devastating. Dave Malkoff, thank you so much. The U.S. may soon welcome some Palestinians from Gaza as refugees. CBS News has obtained internal documents showing senior Biden administration officials have discussed several options for resettling a small number of Gaza residents. It would include those who have immediate family members who are U.S. citizens or permanent residents. In the last fiscal year, the U.S. resettled 60,000 refugees from around the world. Just 56 were Palestinian. Tonight, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel for talks as the Biden administration presses Hamas to accept a deal to release some hostages in return for a temporary ceasefire. But CBS's Deborah Pata reports Israel's prime minister says even if there is a deal, he intends to go ahead with a ground invasion of the southern Gaza city of Rafah.
Protesters are turning up the heat night after night, demanding Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu bring the hostages home, whatever the price. For Netanyahu, it would mean delaying the Rafah invasion and alienating hardliners in his government, a price he's not yet ready to pay. We will enter Rafah because we have no other choice, he said today. As the Secretary of State lands in Tel Aviv, Hamas is weighing up the hostage proposal.
No more delays, no more excuses. The time to act is now.
He's here in a last-ditch bid to secure a deal to stave off the Rafah offensive and ensure Gaza is flooded with humanitarian aid. The threat of a ground invasion terrifies Adnan Abu Asi. He's done living as a refugee in Rafah and returned to what's left of his four-story family home outside Khan Yunis today. Everyone's putting up a tent on top of the rubble of their homes, he said, because they want their lives back. Abu Asi has nothing and walks several hours a day to find water or a tin of food. But at least here he has dignity, he says, and his memories of what was once the most beautiful place in Gaza.
And a glimmer of hope in Gaza today. The World Central Kitchen resumed work almost 1 month to the day seven of its workers were killed in an Israeli strike. They provided 200,000 meals to displaced Palestinians and say they have trucks ready to enter Gaza with enough food for 8 million more meals. Nora?
They're doing heroic work. Deborah Pata, thanks. There was a horrifying attack today in London. Police say a man drove into a house and then began stabbing people with a sword. Doorbell video shows police using a taser to subdue the suspect who was arrested, but not before a 14-year-old boy was killed. Four other people were hurt, including two officers. Investigators don't have a motive, but do not believe this was an act of terrorism. Tonight, millions in the central U.S. are on alert as tornado watches are in effect. The latest round of severe weather includes the threat of large hail, heavy rain, and 70-mile-per-hour gusts. Meteorologist Chris Warren is tracking it all with our partners at the Weather Channel. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Nora. With the ongoing cleanup and recovery efforts and increasing chance for more storms, that threat continues tonight and again tomorrow for some of the areas that were hit by tornadoes over the weekend. The storms continuing to increase during the nighttime hours. The future radar shows that the tornado threat is there. The possibility for tornadoes. Winds could be damaging up to around 75 miles an hour. These storms are also going to be bringing hail and very heavy rain. That flood threat will be with us here from Texas all the way up to Minnesota. And Nora, once again, tomorrow, another tornado threat.
Chris Warren, thank you. The FBI says scammers are getting rich off America's seniors. Today, the Bureau reported complaints by elderly victims jumped 14% last year. Total losses to those over the age of 60 ballooned by 11%. CBS's Nicole Skanga has important information on how to protect your savings.
All of a sudden,
Reverend Malcolm Frazier was browsing his computer when the screen froze.
A message jumped out, said, "Do not turn off your computer. Please call this number."
A scammer persuaded him to transfer tens of thousands of dollars in savings or lose it all.
You thought you were talking to the bank and you were talking to a scammer.
Exactly.
It's called elder fraud crime, and Americans over the age of 60 are now falling victim at record numbers.
Financial fraud is definitely on the rise, and particularly targeting our elderly population.
Last year, $3.4 billion was stolen, according to a newly released FBI report, with more than 100,000 complaints filed to federal law enforcement last year alone, driven by criminal networks operating in West Africa and Asia.
Organized networks of individuals who are well-financed, well-resourced, and are using technology.
Still, experts say the crime targeting seniors is grossly underreported. AARP estimates more than $28 billion is stolen due to elder fraud scams each year. They're now launching a public awareness campaign nationwide as the FBI visits senior centers, churches, and Rotary clubs.
If you've never met somebody in person, the best advice is to not send them any money.
Convincing members of America's silent generation to stay vigilant and to speak out.
Just don't fall for it. Hang the phone up.
FBI officials are also urging financial institutions to create more guardrails, fraud prevention measures that would help stop seniors from sending large sums of money to strangers. Nora?
Such an important story. Nicole Skanga, thank you. A tragic accident in Arizona involving a bounce house. The details when we come back.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned gluten-free mochis that are great for grab and go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
There's a heartbreaking story from Arizona. A 2-year-old boy was killed Saturday in a bounce house south of Phoenix. A powerful gust of wind hit the house and sent it crashing into a neighboring yard. The little boy died at a hospital. A second child suffered a broken arm. A spokesperson for the sheriff called it a tragic accident. There are new guidelines for when women 40 and older should be screened for breast cancer. We've got the details for you next. In tonight's Health Watch, new guidelines are being issued for breast cancer screenings. Regular mammograms are now being recommended to start younger at age 40, and women up to 74 should get screened every other year. Previously, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended that women get the exams every 2 years starting at age 50. The updated guidelines do not apply to women with a history of breast cancer or who have a genetic marker such as the BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes that may put them at higher risk. Remember, those patients should consult with their doctors. Breast cancer is the second most common cancer among American women after skin cancer. Earlier screenings are meant to address the rise in breast cancer among women in their 40s and the higher death rate from breast cancer among Black women. It's estimated the new approach will save about 20% more lives. We should tell you that experts we spoke with say these guidelines don't go far enough and that women 40 and over should be screened every year. Talk to your doctor. Important information. For people with sensory issues, getting a haircut can be stressful. We're going to meet a barber who cuts through anxiety with kindness. That's next.
When it comes to picking the perfect treats for your dog, Stewart makes the choice easy by keeping it real. Real ingredients, real nutrients, real benefits. Stewart dog treats are free from additives, corn, soy, wheat, and grains. Plus, they're freeze-dried to lock in all the great nutrition and natural flavor your furry friend deserves. Stewart freeze-dried dog treats. Big, tail-wagging nutritional benefits. Available on Amazon.com today.
The NCAA women's basketball had an incredibly successful season, and now your favorite players from the 2023 to 2024 NCAA season will be in the WNBA. To all our veteran fans, welcome back. And to all the new fans joining, welcome to the W. This season, watch as proven legends Breonna Stewart, Asia Wilson, and Sabrina Ionescu continue their dominance, while rookies Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, and Angel Reese prove themselves on a WNBA court. The WNBA is redefining basketball on their own terms this season, keeping the game and players front and center, while celebrating the intersection of identities and perspectives that align with fans. Welcome to the W. You're in for some world-class basketball.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America, meet Billy the Barber. Billy Dinnerstein is the owner of Your Kind of Cuts in Nutley, New Jersey. His barbershop gives haircuts to children and adults with autism, sensory issues, and other developmental disabilities. Their services are so unique and special that some of Dinnerstein's customers even fly in from out of state. And it's made him a big star on social media. The haircuts at his shop have a special brand of patience and kindness customized to each customer's individual needs. His barbers are trained to make everyone feel comfortable and to make sure every visit is a positive experience.
If I can present an atmosphere or environment for you in a tough situation that helps you a little bit more comfortable moving forward, then that's my goal. Like, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not here trying to win any award for being Barber of the Year. I mean, we're here just trying to help kids.
Billy Dinnerstein, a barber who's a cut above the rest, and he's tonight's Heart of America. And that's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in. No matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.